Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Oh, my dear friends, welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes. I'm delighted that you could be with us today, and I think you will be too. One of my favorite places to visit is the Denver area. I have family there, and that's part of it. But there are some wonderful groups of really spiritually aware and curious people in Denver, including a great big IANS chapter. And I have some friends there that I see much too seldom. And whenever I see them, I always say, I'm coming back sooner. On top of it all, there are the Rocky Mountains. Never forget those mountains. If you've never been to Denver and visited those mountains, you cannot imagine how beautiful they are, what a presence they are, and what a joy it is to live where you can see and be part of mountains that have snow on top. So I love going to Denver, and I often go there in the winter or spring. And our guest today is a lovely young medium I met when I was in the Denver area in March. Serena Baptista lost her 7-year-old son in March of 2007, and she learned almost at once that little TJ wasn't so little, number one, and he had never actually died. He helped his mother to develop her own abilities as a medium. He even helped her learn how to train other mediums. And her third book is My View from Heaven, a boy's story of his journey to heaven and the purpose of life on earth. Not too ambitious a title, I have to say, Serena, but she wrote this book with TJ. In fact, it's in his voice. It was channeled. I understand from channeled. We're going to talk about that. This book is really great. When I'm doing this work, which I've been doing for almost now 50 years, I'm always looking for what's true because the information I've built is so huge and so consistent, I can pretty quickly tell if something is coming from, you know, another planet. This is all straight on. And what I love about this, as I loved about Mikey's book, Flying High in Spirit, Mikey died at 20. It doesn't matter because we're all the same age once we get to the afterlife. But what I love about this is that he's teaching me things. TJ is teaching me things. So this is a terrific book. I'm going to recommend it highly to you. And with his mentoring, with his long-distance training and all the people he brought in to help his mother learn, Serena has become a very good medium. She actually teaches mediumship, and she's actually a delightful person, I have to say. She's like a ball of energy. Welcome, Serena. I am so glad we finally made this happen.
Oh, thank you so much, Roberta, for having me. It is really a pleasure to be here. I just love you to bits. Have seen you through the years and am just so grateful to be here.
What a wonderful thing to say. All right, let's not talk about me. I almost said, let's talk about me. No, I want to talk about you. Tell us about your background. I mean, you were just a mom, right? What was your sort of day job before this all started to happen?
Well, funny enough, before children, I was actually a software engineer. So very left-brained, very yes. Logical, very step-by-step. You know, we needed step-by-step. I actually did document processing for a while, so I was writing out workflows and processes and things like that, and then had children and became a stay-at-home mom and was homeschooling my kids.
You have two younger children. He's the oldest, right? I'm trying to remember from the
yes.
book. Yes. Okay. So you had him and you had two younger children. And he had this peculiar illness. What was it that actually he died of? Do you know?
It actually was just the flu.
Oh, my.
Yes. He caught the flu on Sunday evening, as did his sister, his younger sister. Both of them exhibited the same symptoms. But by Friday, his room, and he was gone.
Wow. All right. That you just scared every single parent who's listening to us. It's important, everybody, to understand that this was a planned death. We're told every child who dies, every subadult who dies, planned to come in and die early. And we can talk about the reasons why in the course of this hour, or send me an email if you'd like, and we'll talk about it. But that seems to be always the case. It certainly was for TJ. And he said he even had tried to leave sooner a couple of times, and he just couldn't bear it. He was having too much fun, which is the same thing Mikey Morgan said. They tend to take their last exit point because they didn't realize how much fun they'd be having on Earth. But he really had to go, and he sent you away so he could die alone, which many people will do. And this is like the worst thing that could ever happen. The biggest nightmare we all have is that somehow our child will die. And this happened in a way that you would think could never be fatal, and yet it was. So how did you first begin to understand that he was sending – one of the things this little boy did was to remind his mother of him, she would send him the scent of his dirty laundry. I mean, that is so funny. I laughed out loud when I read that. I mean, what a child he was in the beginning.
It is, really. I mean, what a character. Of all the things to give me, was the scent of his dirty laundry. And forever – For until I figured out that that's what it was. And it was a good 6 months later when I was actually on the phone with a medium, and she said, "Oh, I'm smelling dirty socks."
Oh.
And that's when I said, "Oh my gosh, it's been him all the while. I thought somebody missed a pair of underwear. It was stuck on underneath the bed or something like that." Because I would go into his room and I would get this overwhelming fragrance of his dirty laundry.
Oh my Lord. Just to insert, people often will send us, but people who have recently gone ahead will often send us fragrances. For the first signs I ever got, I got as a teenager from my grandmother. And it was repeatedly, I would smell the smell of her living room, which was kind of like lilies of the valley and lilacs. Very distinctive smell in her house. But that's a lot prettier than smelling laundry. It's like, but you began to realize he was communicating with you, right? You were hearing from
him. And he would speak through other people as well. And they kept telling me, "He's got big plans for you. He says he's got big plans for you." And I would get so frustrated and so angry, wondering what those plans were. First of all, why did he have to leave to begin with?
Yes.
And what did this all mean? What was going on here?
And when did someone first let you know that this was something you and he had planned together? Because this is always a shock for parents when they hear this from a – tell us about that. How did you first find that out?
There were numerous people in my life who were what I would call connected or intuitive. I really didn't think that I was. Apparently, I am.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Yes.
At the time, I had no idea, so I was relying on other people. And there was a woman who was the mother of a friend of mine. I had met her maybe once or twice. She lived in California. I live in Colorado. And it was just a few days after JT passed, and I said, "Somebody knows why this happened. Somebody knows." And so I sat at my desk and I was running my finger down the addresses and the phone numbers of the people we needed to contact, and I stopped on her name. No idea why. Obviously, I was being directed to do that. And I called her and I said, "This is Serena. Why?" That's all I said. And she said, "Go get a paper and pen because JT visited me last night and he has a message for you."
Oh, my word. Is everyone
this again?
Wow. Okay.
This again was days after. So at that point, I knew there was more to it. But of course, it wasn't until 6 months after that time that I found that I was a medium.
This is something that he and his mother planned. This is true also of Mikey Morgan's situation. Carol swears that she never would have signed up for this. And you wouldn't have either. Sometimes gifts are not always wonderful to receive. Some of the best gifts are painful to receive. But this is a great gift from a very advanced being, which is what JT turned out to be. And it was the gift that he would leave early and then guide his mother through this wonderful journey she's having now as a medium. And he talks about the reasons why in his book, which to me, his book is just extraordinary. I'll talk more about it later. But it's another book like Mikey's book that gives you information that, and me too, that we could not get in any other way from a genuine being, not in body, who is closely attuned with his mother. So all of this is good and powerful news. Does this mean if you have lost a child, this is the plan you had with that child? Not necessarily, but there was a reason, there was a plan, and it was very wise of Serena to right away say, I want to find out why this happened, and not just poor me or dwell in sorrow or make a shrine to her child. I've seen people do all kinds of things. They're alive. They're more alive after they leave their bodies than they were when they were here sitting in a high chair or were sitting at the table. They're much more alive. And it's all good news. And I think that's the first thing one gets from talking with Serena, actually, because she is full of this remarkable energy and light, which you usually don't see in people that you don't know fairly well. We have a lot more to talk about today, one of which is channeling. The book is called My View from Heaven, A Boy's Story of His Journey to Heaven and the Purpose of Life on Earth. And this is a channeled work. This is really the third thing you and he did together, but he actually channeled it in his voice. How did this happen, Serena?
It was really actually amusing. He came in, I had just published the second book, which is a connecting workbook to help people learn how to connect like I did, because it was a much simpler process than what I thought. That was published in December of 2012. So January 2013, he comes in and he says, okay, Mom, it's time for my book. And when I say he comes in, we have daily conversations. So in our daily conversation, he said, okay, Mom, it's time for my book. And I said, can you hang on just a sec? Just got these two books published, you know, back to back. Can we just sit on this for a minute? And he said, no, we can't. So I said, okay, fine. Let's go with this. How do you want to do this? And he says, well, I'm going to tell you what to write. I am clairaudient, which means I do hear spirit. So what I did was I had a voice, you know, a speech recognition program and a headset and Word document. And I asked him, okay, what do you want to say here? And I just spoke into the microphone and it translated it onto my computer. It was much easier than trying to type it out because he was talking so fast. I just needed to get it onto paper. And I'm going, I can't do this just typing. So I said, how do I do this? He goes, well, use a headset, Mom.
Was he like this when he was with you? Was he this bossy when he was with you sometimes?
Yes. He was definitely a very, what we call, you know, a spirited child. I was reading all the Raising Your Spirited Child books, you know, trying to figure out how to raise this kid.
Yeah, that's great.
I know. He was definitely challenging in that regard. Now I understand why, of course, but at the time.
I love it. You use the word spirited. I think that's great too. So he spoke it, and did it come out as it ended up on the page, all, you know, edited and set, or did you go in and play with it and move things around, or how did the chapters happen?
So he did it all. I just was the person who was, you know, I was like, I'm the ghostwriter, I guess. No, I guess he's the ghostwriter.
Yes.
Which just cracks me up, that term. Anyway,
that's true. That's right.
I would write it out, or I would say it out, and it would go into speech recognition. And then I would go back, because obviously speech recognition, as we know from voice to text, it likes to mess things up. So I would go back and I would say, okay, is this what you meant to say here? And he would say, yes, that's perfect, or no, change this word, change this. So he really was the editor as well. Of course, I had another editor who handled the grammar and things like that. But he was the full author on that.
When Mikey Morgan wrote his book. He gave it to his mother via pendulum, which she became very good at using. And then she went through the book and said, is this what you meant to say? Is this what you meant to say? And he corrected it. Then they sent it to me, and it really needed to be edited and worked through. So I did that. Then she went over it again with him and changed a few words. So there are a variety of ways that the people who are not now in bodies can use susceptible people to collaborate with them. And of course, I discovered very late in life that everything I've ever written is channeled. I try to write on my own. I'd like to be a novelist, for example. I can't. I can only write when my team has decided it's time to write. And now I'm very humble about that. But they don't talk to me. Instead, there are two of them primarily. Thomas does nonfiction and Marvina does fiction, and they just make me feel really smart. I have an idea, and then I start writing, and my fingers are flying, and it's beautiful on the page. And I think, I am a genius. I'm going to write whatever I want to write. This is wonderful. I just can't do it unless they've decided to write that particular book. But very little editing is needed for them either. I've come to believe, and I don't know how you feel about this, maybe because of the way it works for me, I've come to believe just about everything people write is actually channeled if it's worth anything. I mean, we talk about our muse, you know, my muse, this is what my muse thought I should write or something. At least maybe we don't say it so much anymore, but when I was younger, boy, we certainly did. I think that's a guide. Those are guides who are really your muse. They're suggesting.
Totally.
Yeah, they're yes. suggesting what to write, and they're helping you write. And it's much more fun to do it when you sort of shrug and say, okay, what do I write next, guys? And then you write what they want you to. It's just a lot better. But now, what did TJ talk about? I mean, I urge you to read the book. You can read about how he died, why he died, how the plan was made, how you make your own plans for life, whether you have free will. He's very big on free will, which we've come to realize actually is true. He says that's a central difference between this and all the other places you might choose to come to evolve. We have much more free will on Earth than anyone else does. That may well be right. We do know the Earth is a unique place for spiritual evolution, and it's a place where life is tougher than it is on any other planet. By the way, the universe teems with life. That won't surprise you. It's just that most of it is cloaked from us because we've become so dangerous. We're not allowed to know it's there. But that's not what he says. That's what I've learned in other places. That's what I love about his book. It fits with everything I know, but then he takes it a little farther. For example, he talks about all the basic levels of energy through the first 12, and it turns out the bottom two didn't work out well. They're no longer used. I thought, wow, that's an interesting little tidbit there, JT. Tell us more. Because what he says about the other ones, the other levels of energy, are consistent with what we've heard elsewhere. But again, he always adds this little twist. But what to you was the most interesting thing he revealed about why we're here?
Wow, that's a good question. I was dumbfounded through most of the book. I really was.
Well, I could see
I would
why,
have to take breaks. Yes, I mean these concepts were so foreign to me. I had never heard of this before, and that's how I knew I was really channeling too, right? Because if it's something that you already know,
right
then that it's easy. But this stuff was really out there as far as I was concerned. I would have to take breaks. He would say something, and I was like, oh, whoa, that's a little bit too much for me, dear.
Exactly.
Let me take a break, and I would have to go back up. I would have to stop it. I would go meditate or something like that just to assimilate the information and then come back, and we would be able to start again. You know, the whole concept of you know what we're doing here and how we are trying to get to those higher places, to those higher realms. And you know, the Earth is ready to do this. The Earth is a living organism. I think that probably was really one of the things that I hadn't thought about before, that the Earth, that actual Earth, is an energy. And yes. that
everything
energy
is energy. Yes, he stresses.
Yes,
that. It's true.
Yes, and it's an intelligent energy. Yeah. And so that being said, here we are. I felt so guilty being on top of this beautiful energy and not really paying that much attention to it. And right. So it really did open my eyes to pay a lot more attention to nature, to everything, and the whole concept of the wild and the trees and how they die, quote unquote, that energy goes back to the earth and then gets rebirthed elsewhere. It's very different than, you know, we think of us leaving our soul, leaving our body and rising, and the concept of the trees and all of that having that energy goes back down and then gets rebirthed. You know, that was very interesting to me.
Yes. The thing is, he does talk about the fact that the sun and the earth, which he says came very relatively late as a place to evolve our energy. But then he tells us not to be sentimental about it. Accept it. Love the earth. But, you know, a lot of people take this, as they take everything else, to ridiculous extremes. That's not what we're not here to
yes.
do that. The most important energy there is the mind that you think your body, your brain created, but it didn't. You have a little bit of your extraordinary, vast, eternal mind that you can access when you're in a body. And that's what's important. All of this exists to serve you. And one of the many things I love about the way he talks is he stresses how important each person is. He says at one point, you know, imagine if you're in Starbucks and you realize the person in front of you and the person behind you are your, you know, close relatives and or friends, you know, how would you treat them? Well, they really are that. That's how you should be treating them. That
yes.
a number of his insights, although I know they're true, they're fresh, which is one reason that I love his book. I'm going to probably want to talk to you again because there's so much in the book that I want to make sure people understand. But if you're looking for I'm going to add it now to the bibliographies of my fun books when they're reissued. If you're looking for a one book summary of so much that's important for you to know right now, there you couldn't do a better, you know, read a better book, make a better choice than My View from Heaven. One of the many things that's wonderful about his book, the book he wrote with his mom and channeled, actually, is that he makes you feel, if you are reading this book, you are an important part of elevating the energy of this planet, which is why most of the people here are actually here now. So he tries to awaken you to the fact that you have a role to play just as important as his mother's. Even says it's Jesus' role. Your role is important and precious. What are we doing? Well, this is another thing that I've never heard anyone say, but it's true. He says, imagine that we're all getting into this hot air balloon, and you're part of raising that balloon. You're part of the balloon. You're part of the people in it. You're part of raising that balloon. That is so true. We're raising the spiritual energy of the planet, but he gives you a colorful and beautiful way to think about it and about your role in it. So let's talk a little bit more about the book, Serena, because I want to go on and talk about the work he has you doing now, but let's talk a little bit more about the book and what he says about where he is now and why it's so hard for us to understand where he is now.
Definitely. Many of us come in and we totally forget where we have come from. We totally forget. I mean, obviously, all of us have contracts, and we've decided that coming onto this planet, we are just going to forget that we are these high beings. We are just going to forget that we are connected to everybody and to the source of who we are. And we come in and then we have these experiences and we have this learning that takes place and learning about relationship and learning about love. But where JT is now is this very high realm, and it's a guiding realm. You know, many of us have experienced this realm in like meditation and in, you know, and when we connect to the other side. And there's so many people now who can access this realm. And that's part of his whole mission, is to say, no, you can access this. You can be part of this. And it's not as difficult as we might think. But where he is, is in this guidance place, in this creation place. And he is a creator. He's helped create so many things on the planet and guided so many people. When you read the book, he actually says in the book, you know, like you were saying, Roberta, that, you know, if you're reading this, call on me for help. And people sense that he's there. People I've never met, people who didn't know him when he was here, they know that he's with them and helping them. He it's like he is over their shoulder and says, pay attention to this page, pay attention to this
Isn't
concept.
Yes. Yeah. One thing he says, which is an important insight, is we're trained as children that heaven is up. But he said, in fact, no matter how high his vibration is, he's right in the same place. He says, I'm right next to you. Now, we know that's true. It's just like a spectrum of energy that all exists in the same place. So where you are, JT is right there too. He's just vibrating at a much, much higher level. And another important point, which he doesn't say, but this is why he can be with everybody at once. Most of the most advanced beings that we've ever heard from are actually working as part of a huge group. Thousands of very advanced beings work together. The higher we are in vibration, the more we stop seeing there's a difference between us and someone else. Separation pretty much disappears. So he says, I am with you, and he can say that because your guides are part of him and he is part of them. So many things we think of as true here are simply not true. They're just little conventions for this brief period we spend in this kind of awful school. But he makes it sound so easy to be doing the things he's doing, because in fact it is for him very easy, because he is at that very high level. What do you want people to know most about TJ?
That he is available, that he not only can see, like your guides, he can see what's best for you, but he's a teacher. He is a huge, huge teacher, and he wants to teach us what we need to do to get to the higher vibrations, to get to the higher places. Because like you said, we can be in those places and still be in bodies. And that concept was very foreign to me. Again, a lot of this was. But since he has taught me how to access that higher space, a very, very high space, but still be grounded and still be here. And that's really important, is we just need to be here. We need to experience this. It's not about leaving our bodies and going up to that higher space. It's about being in both places so that we can access the higher information, but still have the earthly experience that we want.
I'm going to ask Serena to come back with us for another segment, probably in a few months. And what I'm going to want to talk about then almost exclusively is what he has to say about the problems of the planet and how we are to raise the vibration of the planet, because that to me is by far the most important thing he said, because that's really what everybody on Earth who chose to come in now, we all came in knowing that the Earth is in terrible trouble and why it's in trouble and what our part is. And I'm like to have him help you discover what your own particular part is to play. But first, I'd like to talk to Serena a little bit about what he has got you doing. You're no longer the software guru. Now you are. What is it you're doing now?
Wow. Yes, this is definitely something I never thought I would be doing, of course, but things change. But I am now teaching other psychics and mediums how to access the higher space, just like he taught me. I'm also doing Akashic Records readings and training people there as well. And it's really the Akashic Records are just another way to get that information. It's all coming from the same place. It's just another way to get it. And very important, teaching people how to connect to their grief and to their loved ones on the other side, teaching them how to do it, teaching them how to have that connection and communication that I have.
Is that something anybody can do? Literally anyone listening could do that?
Yes, I do believe that we all have that connection, that we've come in with that connection. We just forget about it. We don't know how to access it. There are, of course, you know, blocks and things like that that we put in. You know, when I was a kid, I don't think it was safe to see dead people. I probably was a medium all along and just didn't even know it and blocked it. So it did take a little bit to unblock that. And that's the only thing that can stand between us and the connection to the other side are our blocks.
So is that part of what you do? You help people remove these blocks?
Yes. Yes. With JT and his team, I have a team of trainers that come in, very, very high, a lot of ascended masters and high energies. And they come in and they direct me. I'm really not doing it. I'm the facilitator, of course. They tell me what that person needs to do in order to remove that, in order to get to those high places, in order to connect with their high guides. And I'm very specific. In the beginning, we only deal with high guides. We don't deal with anything else because I want people to really feel safe and really feel like they are getting that information that they really require.
So if someone was in this situation, they would contact you. And isn't your website serenabaptista.com?
Yes. And also bridgetohealing.com is my business name. And that directs you to Serena Baptista in case you don't know how to spell it. but it all leads to the same place.
But you do workshops, right? And other
lots.
Yes. Okay. So people who are interested in getting to know Serena and how they might help her, and I would stress that if you have lost a child or someone that you felt very close to and you feel lost, read the book, because he talks about why it would be that they would be trying to contact you early on, but maybe after a few months or a year, you might not hear from them as much. They still love you just as much. He stresses that. But he says, you know, we have a lot of other stuff we're working on too. So, you know, give us the grace to be doing a lot of different things rather than just sort of sitting there with you. They're not sitting on the edge of a cloud swinging their feet waiting for you to show up. They're not doing that. They have the world, much vaster than we could possibly imagine, the world of energy to explore and work to do. That's one of the things he stresses that I love. Everybody has work to do that they are thrilled to be doing. It's the work that they that's in their heart, and most of it has to do with helping others or creating. He's making stuff. I have to just say parenthetically, one of the things I read a long time ago was about a very advanced being who had just arrived back, who was being taught how to create. And he was literally in a greenhouse of some sort, being taught how to make plants. He was making a new kind of plant. And I thought, that is really strange. But I read that 40 years ago. That's not strange. A lot of people, like our friend JT, are probably doing this same thing. And just as another thing to think about, we are told suddenly genetic research is showing that 90% of the species, plant and animal, on this planet came in at about the same time that matured humans came in, which was between 100 and 200,000 years ago. Talk about evolution all you want, and indeed he says that it's true, evolution exists. But 100 to 200,000 years ago, everything became what it was supposed to be suddenly for us to be able to evolve here spiritually. That's when the earth matured. Nearly all children, we're told, who die early in life, even some adults in their early 20s, were advanced beings who didn't need to go further, but they came in. Very often they came in as gifts to the families that love them, because it's a huge spiritual lesson to lose a child. And I know it's not a fun lesson, but it's a huge lesson all the same. But those children didn't need to stay. They had important work to do elsewhere. Once in a while, that work is with their mom. And so Serena Baptista has transformed her life. Now she's teaching mediumship, and she is working as a medium herself. If someone wanted a reading with you, how they would go to serenabaptista.com or bridgetowithin.com. And
yes, serenabaptista.com or bridgetohealing.com.
Oh,
and
they can,
that's okay, no problem. They are they can schedule right there on the website, and that is where my schedule is kept. I am very grateful to have software to be able to do that.
Yes, yes.
So right on there, and it shows all of the available sessions. I do a lot of different kinds of sessions for people, because part of my purpose now not only is to connect them to their loved ones, but also to connect them to their divine self.
Okay, so someone who is resonating with the kind of thing that you and JT are doing could contact you, get a reading, which would allow that person to begin to connect with that person's own inner self, guides, upper higher self, purpose, all of the things that people might wonder about.
Yes.
Okay, well, definitely. That's great. That's great. And you've had good success with this.
Incredibly so. I leave it to JT to direct those people. In the beginning, he said, don't worry about it, Mom. Because I was saying, how do I find these people? How do they find me? He says, don't worry, we got that. We got that. And so I just am here as the vessel again, and he brings the people to me. He gets the word out. He gets the people to read his book. He's an amazing marketing guy, really.
Well, good for him. Good for him. I could use some of that too, JT. Let's
definitely.
No, that's great. So, do people then maybe start with a training with you at a workshop, and then go on to do other things as you help them grow?
I would say that once you get on the website, that you can find what resonates with you. A lot of times what I'll do initially is what I call, it's called a psychic evaluation, but I like to call it a psych eval, just a little play on words there.
Well, and you're professional now, so you can, yes.
And that what we do there is we define, you know, what are your dominant abilities? How do we hone them? And it's not only for people who want to be psychic mediums. This is just for people who want to connect, again, with their higher self, with their divine self, with loved ones on the other side. So we usually begin with that. I do have a lot of workshops here in Colorado expanding. I do travel too. I'm going to be going to Lilydale in a couple of weeks, which is a fabulous community of mediums.
Oh, yes.
And teaching a workshop there called Letters from Heaven, which is another area that people will get direct communication with their loved ones through that. And I just love to do that, because I'd rather, I'm all about teaching a man to fish instead of buying the fishes.
Absolutely. And you don't really believe it. I should just say to you, to people listening, I'm very skeptical by nature. I have to tell you, it took me a long time to start to really understand that the fact that everybody's saying the same thing means it may in fact be true. But it's natural to be skeptical, and you really won't begin to get all of this until you have your own experiences and begin to develop your own powers. I think that's true of most of us, which is why what you're doing and being an introduction for people is so valuable. And I'm sure that's, you know, JT and his team know that.
Yes. Yes, true. And I'm a skeptic as well. I mean, coming from the software engineering side, yes. Prove it to me is what I would say to him, you know, and, yep. And he must have been laughing at me so much.
They do a lot. I should just say, it's a lot happier there than people realize. They do a lot of laughing. Another thing I want to stress that he says is there is no judgment when we get there. He goes farther with it even than I would. He says, even if you kill yourself, whatever you do, there's no judgment. We learn from all these experiences. Now, I know that some people going through their life review who have killed themselves so they wouldn't get some lesson they wanted will go darn it to the extent that they have trouble forgiving themselves. So I wouldn't take suicide lightly, everyone, but please understand there is no judgment. God does not judge. There's no spiritual being who judges you at all. The love and support that we get constantly from those not in bodies is beyond our ability even to imagine. So I just have to say, this is a terrific book. We're going to, when we talk next, we're going to be talking really about some deeper things that he says in this book that I think are very important, especially for people on Earth to know right now. But what do you think is the thing he's most trying to say, Serena?
What I feel he's most trying to say, and what he says to me all the time, is you're not alone. You have us. rely on us, you know, ask us for your for help, because we are a planet of free will. So we do need to ask for assistance from our helpers, from our guides. Of course, they do a lot of guiding anyway, just keeping us out of trouble. But yes, to really sink into this, it's ask us. We are here for you, and you are not alone. Please don't ever feel you're alone, no matter what you're going through, because we are here.
Isn't that a wonderful message? I can't imagine a better one than that. No matter how much you feel that there's nobody who loves you, the love that is around and through you from these people not in bodies is beyond your ability to imagine. Her website is serenababtista.com. And is it Bridge to Healing? Did I get it wrong before?
Yes. Oh, it's all right. Yes, bridgetohealing.com as well.
.com.
Yes.
And we will be speaking with Serena again. Thank you so much for coming. This has been so much fun for me to talk with you and to talk with him.
Thank you so much, Roberta. I just love talking about my son.
I can imagine.
Yes, everything that he talks about is just so important. So I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, we'll be talking again soon. And meanwhile, everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm really glad you could be with us today. This is a wonderful part of your journey, hearing from people like JT and Serena. Never forget that you, and he says this too, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. When you really get what that means, I promise you, your life will be transformed. Next week, Dr. Rochelle Wright is going to join us for the third time. I didn't realize she'd been here twice before. She's a friend and protege of our wonderful friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. She's a therapist who has pioneered a really extraordinary technique for enabling people, just like you and me, regular people who aren't psychic, to have induced, guided afterlife connections with their dead loved ones. And too few people know about this when it's so, so important. It's an amazing form of grief therapy. I have personally spoken to people who were devastated at the loss, especially of a child or of a close loved one, and they went through a day's sessions with Dr. Rochelle Wright, and they told me they were at 11. That's where their grief was at the start. Afterwards, they said, you know, maybe a 2 or a 3. They had real experiences with these people on a physical beach, in physical mountains, long conversations, hugs, anything you could possibly imagine they get to do with their loved ones again. This is a truly extraordinary, very, very new way of dealing with grief, and it works so well. So please join us with Dr. Rochelle Wright next week, and let's find out what's new in her world, which is a beautiful world. This week, our guest has been Serena Baptista. Her son, JT, planned with her before they were born that he was going to die when he was, I think, even younger than 7. He stayed till 7 so they could work together thereafter. This is a very good way, by the way, that people will sometimes build a bridge with us. They will be parents or children, and then they will work with us afterwards. Everyone who dies as a subadult is an advanced being. We're told there are no exceptions, no matter how they die. They don't need to learn more, but they come to either give us the experience of having lost a child, which is a gift to us, or to work with us, just as JT does. To help us all grow spiritually, TJ wrote through his mother, My View from Heaven, a boy's story of his journey to heaven and the purpose of life on earth. And his book is literally as good as is Mikey Morgan's book, Flying High in Spirit. If you've read one, you're going to want to read the other. It's really a terrific little book, not even very long, which is another thing I love about it. As you know, my own nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together for Young Children, The Fun of Meeting Jesus, and will soon also be out with The Fun of Growing with Jesus. You can order them through bookstores or on Amazon.com. And, of course, the adult books are also audiobooks. If you want to talk with me about anything, any of my books or just any question you have, always you can contact me through RobertaGrimes.com. I answer every email. Just please make sure you give me the right address. Otherwise, I'll never be able to get anything back to you. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net, on iTunes, and through the Seek Reality app you can find for free in the iTunes store. Earlier episodes are being broadcast by our wonderful friends at Dream Vision 7 Radio. I think they're a full year after they were first aired. So that gives you another chance if you're trying to catch up. And if you're ever wondering, of course, where Seek Reality can be heard right now, just go to robertagrimes.com, click the radio tab. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy this coming week in our One Reality, knowing that you in particular are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.